You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is The Comedy Cellar Show on Sirius XM 99. Raw Dog, this is the voice of Dan Natterman, and the reason for that is because Noam Dorman is in Vegas. Not sure what he's doing there, but he is in Las Vegas. So I am running this show, and I'm going to run it my way, which means less on the deep philosophical shit and more on just keeping it light and breezy like I like to
light do. Light and breezy.
And I have my dear friend with me, Dov Davidoff.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who hasn't been on the show in a while. I guess
been
he's been
some
on
time, some
he's been
time.
On the road. And
been dogging it.
He's been road dogging. By the way, I was all nervous, Dov, because I had a gig tomorrow in Florida.
I thought you'd felt some relief.
No, I said I was very anxious. I had a gig performing for an older crowd, like a 50 or a 65 and older community down in Florida, but the gig was canceled because of the snow. I can't get the hell out of here. I tried everything.
Well, now, so that's not good, not because you didn't get to do the gig for a 65 and over set, but because it's a money thing, right?
Yeah, I lost money. I mean, maybe they'll reschedule it. But
maybe, okay.
So
yes,
I can't, because tomorrow there's snow, and right now this is the 8th, because this is going to air.
So I was talking with Liz about this. So they preempted the snow. I had always thought, I'd associated airlines with stopping flights when it snowed.
Yeah, but sometimes, like... Sometimes they know in advance they're going to cancel the flight.
I see,
it's like,
I
remember
see.
In school, usually you had to wait till the next morning to find out there was no school. But every now and again, they would tell you the night before.
It's going to be bad.
And then, therefore, you could stay up late, hang out with your friends.
I got you.
Or if you were Dov Davidoff, get laid. But I didn't do that in those days.
I understand.
But sometimes they would tell you the night before. And the airlines are no different than your local Board of Education.
Right.
Every now and again, they go ahead of time.
Every now and then, they go ahead. Yep.
They tell you ahead of time. So we have tonight on the show. By the way, Chris Montella quit.
Do you want me to get Steve and James? You may as well bring them over for this. No?
We can bring them over. Yeah, Liz, would you mind?
There.
Liz Ferrace?
Montella quit.
Chris Montella quit the show. You didn't know that?
The married life. Is there a reason for that, or she just was inconvenient for her life at this point?
Well, you'd have to ask her. The stated reason is that... I guess it wasn't working for her anymore. I'm not exactly sure. You know, you'd have to talk to Montella.
But was it
I think she had just, in the sense that this
was instrumental in something that she was doing? I mean, you're a comedian here. I mean, I thought...
Well,
you know,
it wasn't working for her in terms of, I guess she wasn't having fun.
I got you. I understand.
Not that it wasn't working in anymore.
Well, that surprises me because Kristen always... Everybody has a good vibe with Kristen, especially. She's a sweetheart.
Well, we'll certainly miss her. She's welcome to come back anytime she wants, unless, of course, we find somebody to replace her. Well, obviously, if we found somebody to replace her, she couldn't come back, Liz.
Yes, she could.
Well, she could still come back.
She could come back to sit in and say
right?
hello, but we can't wait forever.
No, not full time.
I don't know if you want to talk about Dov was his adventures in insemination.
Oh, yeah, well, sure. Listen, I'd be happy to talk about it. I'm trying to get somebody pregnant, and I got a weak, deadbeat operation I'm running.
Dov is trying to get his wife pregnant, and unfortunately...
All the material about it, yeah.
Unfortunately, his sperm, unfortunately, and this is a shock to everybody. Have a seat.
Yes,
this is James.
It's a shock to everybody.
James Altucher, I think it's pronounced, but you'll correct me.
The great James Altucher.
James Altucher. Okay, that's...
Yes.
Obviously, I don't have to... That's a, you know, Altucher. Is here with us, along with the person that he's touching, I guess.
Yes.
His lady friend, or is that your wife?
Lady friend.
Good friend. What is your name again, young lady?
Well,
what is her name, James?
Pamela.
Pamela, right. Hi, Pamela.
Now, James has that look that you can have when you're a genius. But most people couldn't pull that off. He's got crazy afro.
Well, you know...
He's got a light Einstein.
Yeah. My guess is I'm the oldest person here.
No, I doubt it.
I could be the oldest person in
this entire restaurant. Oh, no, you are the oldest person here, but not by much. I'm 47.
I'm 40. I just turned 49.
Okay.
You
are a very young-looking 47,
isn't it? Dan's a very young-looking 47. Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you, James. I hear that quite a bit.
Thank you, James.
But you look young yourself.
Thank you. But you have, you know what it is? You have a young-looking 47, but you kind of have this old Jewish kind of voice.
He's got an old soul.
You're very Jewy.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be the matzo ball soup calling the Kanish.
On the Kanish, Lower East Side-ish.
Which, whatever. But anyway.
We're all from the same block, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Now, James, we're talking about, we're going to get to you, and I know you have written a lot of books, and you do a lot of things, and you're very impressive, and we'll get to that. But right now, we're talking about... Well, he is, and I'm not saying
no, but it's so funny the way you
Well,
say
right
it.
Now we're talking about
Doves. I won't deny it. I'll take all the compliments, and then you can decide later.
Right now, and he's got a very beautiful girlfriend. If there was any doubt that this guy's a player, all doubt has been dissipated upon seeing his girlfriend. You can certainly, you know this guy's got something up his sleeve.
Yeah, I'll touch. He's got moves.
I'm the easy D.
But we
see Donald Trump's tweet today.
No, I didn't see that.
He said Supreme Court decision was an easy D, which. Refers to
easy D,
having easy dick. So
okay. There you go.
Doing some political analysis here.
All righty. And we'll get to political analysis. But right now we're talking about Dove's weak load.
I had to get a sperm analysis recently. I've been trying to get my wife pregnant for a year. I've got some psychological issues with her. But other than
how old are you?
I'm 43. I'm 43. No, don't worry about interrupting. You can always interrupt. It's what we do here.
Because after 40,
yes.
Do you think did the
no.
I'm asking you what your doctor said. Does testosterone go down after 40?
Yeah, no, all of that goes 49. Down, but not to the degree that there should be any substantial issue with regard to your ability to get somebody pregnant. So the load drops a bit, the motility drops a bit, but you should not have an issue in terms of over time being able to get somebody pregnant. Meaning it does not precipitously diminish in such a way that it would impact that.
Can I ask a question?
Of course you can. I'm a heterosexual.
Follow-up question.
If that's the answer.
Follow-up question from Mr. This gentleman
I'll
over
touch
here.
Her.
I'll touch her.
So if your wife doesn't get pregnant after 2 months, does that decrease the likelihood on the third month? Is each month less likely?
Not that I know of. As a matter of fact, certainly you don't want to do it every day. I don't know if there's any likelihood. I think it's just you want to hit her sweet spot. So my wife got a fertility app that smiles when she's ovulating. And so for that 5-day period, I'm supposed to save it up, and not blow loads all over the room, because I got to save it up for
now,
my
James,
special lady.
What you don't know about Dove is why it was such a shock to us when we found out that he wasn't a real man. That he couldn't impregnate his wife like you're supposed to be able to do.
You are supposed to be able to do that.
Is that this man was the world's greatest seductor.
I had a way.
He pulled moves.
You were smooth.
Yeah. I was pretty good at it.
So not
good at it in general. So I couldn't advise anybody how to walk into a bar and do it. I can't do it in general in life so well. But if I got a thing that if the girl is odd enough, she tends to be, and then the kind of demographic that's drawn to me tend to bang right away. And their father.
He's being falsely modest. He banged all sorts of women. Gorgeous women that I would have written poems to and pined away for months and years.
He would throw
them away like toilet paper. Be like, oh, I can't believe she's calling again.
So there's some supermodel calling. So I'm not going to ask him for advice. That would be like asking Michael Jordan for like basketball advice.
Right.
What's your advice from observing him?
My advice to you?
Yeah, from observing him.
Well, that's like saying, I observe Floyd Mayweather. Therefore, how do you become heavyweight champion? You got to be born with it. Everybody has to use their own strategy.
That was a good way to ask the question, though.
I thought I maybe would get an answer out of it.
No, that was very good.
Well, you have problems.
Unfortunately, you've met your match here.
You're with a lovely young lady, so you have no problems in that area.
I'll touch your nose's game.
It took a long time, though. I had to meet one person.
Yeah, because you couldn't do what Dove does because you're not Dove. You have to play the nerd angle, and that's in now.
All right, how do you...
That's a solid
like,
angle.
I have the nerd look, though. How do you play the nerd angle?
It helps to have $100 million in cash somewhere.
Yeah, I guess. Sure.
And are you suggesting that's what he has?
No, I'm suggesting he doesn't need that because he's just very, very smooth, very confident, and he also has some good movie credits. And you know these broads, now you're a genius, you've written several books, but they don't read.
Nobody reads. I don't even read.
These chicks, you got to hit them with a movie credit, and that they respond to.
Okay, what are some movie credits?
Have you done any, or a reality show at least? Have you been on,
Nothing.
Nothing, okay.
The news.
Well, I don't think you have any problems picking up late, just judging from this supermodel that
you've
got.
The wonderful Pamela, the glorious and lovely Pamela.
But,
So you go to the doctor today. And
well,
what's the result?
Had a sperm analysis. You wait 5 days. The whole thing's an embarrassment. You got it's you know to making an appointment to jerk off is never anybody's idea of a good time. Then you go to Midtown, and then they ask you if you spilled any, which is a whole. It's, the whole thing's so awkward. You know why I'm there. I know why I'm there. The fact that you're like, you know, she said, "What are you here for?" And you know, what am I here for?
Was there like a waiting
there's
room?
A jerk-off room.
Were there people in the waiting room listening?
Yeah. What am I here? I'm here. I'm looking for a James Altucher's book. Are you selling that book? The waiting. Yeah, there's a waiting room, and then there's you go into a little bit of a little room, looks like a big closet, very hospital-ish, bright light, small TV, magazine rack, and then a wee-wee pad on a chair. It's a horror show, James.
And the awkward part was when he took a picture of the nurse before going to the jerk off. He didn't really do that.
That was good.
No, Dan told me to do that. Dan told me, take a picture of the nurse and then come back out and then, you know, like, and then walk into the room, rather.
That would be great.
That'd be fun.
Why don't people do that? Like, just for fun.
Well, somebody might have it. You've got to have a lot of nerve to do a thing, to pull a move like that.
Well, you have to be a bit nuts, and also people would hate you.
Most people don't have that kind of audacity.
So you give, so you did it, and then you give them over, and then they do a test.
They do test. 5 days later, the doctor calls. A week later, I get on the phone with my wife, speakerphone. There are three categories. There's load size. That was the technical term the doctor used. And then there's motility, which is the level at which they're clipping along and swimming. And what I found out
is
I am working 20 knots. They got to be clipping along at the level of motility. I have such a you ever go by the bodegas outside of certain projects and you see young guys buying blunt wrap at 10 in the morning. I got a deadbeat sperm. They don't want to show up for work. They don't want to read.
They're just
they don't
want to
swim.
They're just hanging out.
They're deadbeats. They're the kind of people that you say,
they're
listen.
They're going to OTV.
You want to be the opposite of dove sperm. That's what you want to be. And
so is that the problem?
And then there's
motility.
Then there's the number of sperm. 20 million is what the doctor likes to see. I have 11. And each one of them is a deadbeat.
So literally, you're fucked.
Oh, yes.
Well, no, he has to do IVF.
IVF.
But he has to pay us whatever money that costs.
What I didn't tell my wife is that this whole time I've been paranoid about using condoms. I've been on the road. I've gotten a lot of tail over the years, and I've always been so paranoid about condoms. And lo and behold, I get into a monogamous relationship. I'm married. I could have been blowing it all over this country for many years.
Well, you could have also been diseased. You could have caught a disease.
Nah, what disease? What do you got? HIV is the only thing you really got to worry about. The other stuff is a pill. If herpes, if you don't have it already and you've been with more than 10 broads, you know, you're not going to get it. I mean, you're not going to manifest. The odds are one out of every three people has herpes. So if you don't have an outbreak at some point, it means you're not going to manifest like that.
I'm going to give my daughters this lecture this weekend.
No, listen, it's all horrible what I'm saying. I know that. Let's talk about James.
Do you have
what
else you
want to tell? I have two daughters. Well, they need to know this.
Okay, you had, no, but not with Pamela. This was with a previous
correct
baby mom. Is she a baby mama or were you married?
I was married. I've been married twice. But and after my second wife left, I was really depressed. And you know who I called? You'll be, I don't know how old you are. You'll be
43. Well, he's 43. I'm 47. Yeah.
Okay, so I called Judy Blume.
And oh, of course,
And I said, I'm really depressed. My second wife just left, and she assured me third time's a charm because she's on her third marriage. So that gave me confidence again, and she's been married for 30 years.
Judy Blume, by the way, for our younger listeners, wrote such classics as Blubber.
Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
Well, that she did. Well, that's what it was named. Blubber was the name of the book. And did you say Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing?
Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then she got into more like risque shit with Wifey.
A
this
classic.
Was big young adult.
He could have brought that into the sperm room earlier.
That was like, the 50 Shades of Grey.
I actually used the High Society.
Of its era. Dove used erotic poems.
Erotic poems.
To get off.
No, it was a Proust novel. The first chapter I used.
So let's switch things over now to our guest, who I guess we've been trying to get on, or Calabria apparently canceled you a couple of times.
Yeah, what's up, Steven? Where is he?
Well, he's over
James
there.
Is a busy man.
No, but we canceled him, I think, a couple of
times. Yeah, you guys canceled him.
Well, either way, let's get into
his
life.
And I suggested canceling you a third time because Noam's not here, and I know he wanted to meet
but
you.
But I want to talk to him.
I'll come on again.
I have a lot. I have, I've been dealing with a development scenario and a JV agreement. I hired investigators to, you know, deal with the team. And then I've been reading The Undoing Project. You can relate to all of this.
Wait, why did you hire investigators?
Wait, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about with the
JV.
Oh,
I'm sorry. A JV is a joint venture that I had engaged in to develop a piece of property. I'm not going to get into this particular.
I don't want to get too businessy.
I totally understand.
This is not Barron's podcast.
I thought you meant development deal like actors, like a TV show development deal.
No. Something where the probability of success is vastly higher than a TV. But I'm also in a TV scenario as well. But, you roll the dice. But anyway, how can we talk about what James does in a way that doesn't get a bit technical?
Wait, but I also want to understand you guys. Okay. I want to understand what is
I'm old man.
What's a TV scenario?
God, just keep saying he's heterosexual.
What do you mean?
I'm heterosexual, Jay.
I believe you're all man.
Yeah.
Well,
a development scenario?
In TV.
In TV means it can take place in a number of different ways, but I go to a network, I say, I have an idea, and would you like to pay me to write that idea? Or I come in with a sizzle reel. It's an idea, it's a soft scripted scenario based on my family life. Dan plays my closest friend, and we shot it with a successful production company called Left Right. Ken Druckerman's a good producer. And now we're out pitching along with a sizzle reel. So what we're trying to communicate is proof of concept. So it's probably a lot like going into a venture capitalist room and saying, this is my idea.
Oh, you're right. So you scripted it and you shot some scenes.
It's loosely scripted.
Okay, it's loosely scripted.
Yeah.
You shot some scenes.
Yeah, not totally dissimilar to what Larry David is doing, but I use my real family. My mother is a real character. Everybody says that about their mother, but my mother is. And my wife, who has got some psychological problems, and so it's an entertaining crew.
Is your wife listening? Is she going to listen to this podcast?
I don't care if she is. we got to get it out in the open here. There's no sense.
Well, she knows. He talks this way even in front of her. They have a very kind of an honest dialogue.
Well, I talk about it on stage, I love her. You can love somebody that has borderline-y aspects. We just all have to acknowledge what's taking place.
Well, borderline what, though? Like borderline personality?
Borderline-y personality stuff. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. So is she like, I love you, I hate you?
Yeah, there's a lot of push-pull. It's not quite that literal, but there's a lot of vacillation between neurotic and psychotic. But not psychotic like I see dragons. Psychotic like, I'll say, you're being contentious. And then she'll argue she'll argue the word contentious, which is... insane, because you're being contentious. It's a meta thing, and it gets nutty.
Don't you wish there was music or something that indicated what was about to take place? You know, like a when I met my ex. Like, you know, like this really happened. She broke my ankle. She broke my I was in Rome. I went away for the first time in a while. I rented a scooter, and I let her get on the. She was on the back. And she kept yelling, I was born to ride. And then I let her drive, and not four blocks go by, and she freaks out, and we go down, and I put my leg out, and my ankle broke. But she never tried to hit the brakes. Like, she never, it wasn't a legitimate fall, like somebody cut us off. She was just like, she's just balled up like a bitch, you know? Just, And now every time I see her, you ever see the person you're with and you get that feeling in your stomach like you you were driving and drinking and a cop pulls in behind you and you're like, huh. And that's how I feel when I see her. And then I realize later on she had an actual borderline personality disorder. Like somebody who borderline personality disorder, it's hard for them to acknowledge responsibility while conflict is taking place. So things would get real strange real fast. Like she would go, she'll go from an adult to a 15-year-old to a raccoon, like that. So normal arguments would get, I was in the car with her out of nowhere, picture this, no context, I'm driving, she turns to me and she goes, to each his own. No context, just a free-floating to each his own. And I said, what do you mean? And then she goes, I mean to each his own. I was like, I heard what you said. I don't know what you mean. And then she goes, you don't know what to each his own means? Like, I know what it means. I don't know what you mean by it. And then she goes, why are you yelling? I was like, the fuck is going on, man? And then I broke the turn signal off the column and stuck it in my leg to focus the pain. To focus the pain, to prevent me from driving into the divider, the highway divider. You ever see the divider and you just want to prove a point? You just want to be like, yeah, yeah. Ha! You know, my fantasy was at some point, if I continued to bounce off the divider, at some point she'd begin to empathize and cry, and she would say, "Why are you doing this?" You know, and I would get to say, "To each his own, motherfucker." Yes.
I always get curious. So you said that, you know, he could pick up anybody.
I said the Dove in his day.
Yeah, could pick up anybody.
Day, yes.
And so, probably still could if he put his mind to it.
No. So do you think,
but he doesn't do it anymore.
Do you think something inside of you was attracted to that kind of chaos inside of her?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a nutty, modelly, odd, there's a lot going on there, and I married her, and I love her, but it's been very challenging as of late, which is why I think it's a little bit fresh emotionally for me right now.
Does she get angry at your sperm condition? Like, does she actually get angry at you?
Oh, that's a great question. If she did, I wouldn't know it, because she is unbelievably passive-aggressive, and so it doesn't come at you directly when she's feeling something, which is very challenging as well, and so we're... You know, there's a lot of nature-nurture stuff, right, in all of these conditions for people psychologically. Perhaps not, you know, fissures from reality, but a lot of it's nature-nurture. She had parents and abusive and alcoholic, and then it exacerbated an already underlying sort of precarious psychology.
Is it possible, maybe, and this is just a suggestion, that I could regain control?
Yes, of course. I apologize.
Well, you know, the thing is, James has a podcast of his own, and when you bring podcasting people on the show, they, you know, because your default
he's
position...
He's an interviewer. That's
he's
right.
He's an interviewer. That's
yeah,
his default.
Snafu'd me. It's his fault.
That's his default
I
position.
You guys
because he's
for
trying
it.
To turn...
Yeah, he got us good.
Trying to turn this into his interview of us. Which,
he is a snake, and I've always said that about Al Tucci.
Well, he is somebody that needs to be watched and
watched. He's got a
you
close
do always
eye.
Say it about me. I'm trying to get insulted about that.
You don't write that many books because you're a calm, well-mannered guy. He's got a roiling something going on in there.
You're sort of a jack of many trades. You studied computer science.
Yes.
Which, you know, that's
that thing.
The thing, but you're that's what you should study. Not you shouldn't
of
study.
Of course,
what
you should.
Yeah, you shouldn't study like hard history. You know,
Dan went to Wharton, then law school, and then and then became a comedian, but never practiced law.
So you can't sue someone right now, for instance.
No, I don't. I don't even know that I'm legally a member of the bar anymore. I don't really. I think you have to keep that up.
But if you want to, if he wanted to sue somebody, I would help him.
How would you help him?
I'd hire an attorney.
There goes Al Chula. There he goes again.
Trying to
divert the conversation. Because he doesn't want to talk about himself.
But why did you go from law to comedy?
Well, because...
Not that there isn't reasons.
I never wanted to be a lawyer. I went to law school because that's kind of what you're supposed to do when you grow up in a certain milieu. And I always wanted to be in show business.
Yes.
But you know, when you don't grow up in a showbiz household or a showbiz environment, it seems silly and ridiculous. And so you say to yourself, well, I'm going to do what you're supposed to do and go to Wharton and go to law school and things of this nature.
Then, along those lines, I was talking to James before, and we talked about whether or not you thought the average comedian was a bit more cracked than the average person pursuing some other low-probability creative endeavor.
A bit
more cracked, and I said yes.
Probably would be, yeah.
Well, but I think, though, when we eliminated anything that involved a degree, it's all one in a thousand chance. So musician, writer... astronaut, which requires a degree.
I really didn't perceive it as one in a thousand. Call me crazy. I thought I was a shoo-in. I just remember watching these comics on TV and said, I can do what they're doing. And I was right. I could do what they're doing. But the other thing I didn't consider was that that's not sufficient. In other words, necessary was for me to be as funny as...
Yes.
Fill in the blank.
Yes.
You know, say Roseanne.
Bill's pretty funny.
Roseanne, fill in the blank is funny. But but say, be as funny as, say, Tim Allen. And then I'd have everything that Tim Allen had. That's what I thought how it worked that way.
Right.
But as it turns out, you could be five times funnier than Tim
Correct.
Allen.
Correct, yes.
And have nothing at all.
Yes. So what is it? It's obviously not a luck thing, because there must be some persistence aspect.
Well, there's all sorts of factors. You had to, first of all, they came around. People like Roseanne and Tim Allen and Drew Carey, et cetera, came around at a time where they were giving comedians sitcoms, where network television was enormous. There were only three real channels you could watch. And, of course, those were the only ones that we saw. There might have been numerous comics that we didn't see that didn't go anywhere.
But let me...
Why is Al Chula trying to turn into...
Yeah, because he is a snake, and I said it early on.
He's been calling me a snake all night. But just one more question. Now, you, not only do you have broadcast TV, you have 50 cable channels.
Right, there's more
Hulu,
out there.
Even Verizon's going to do original programming.
Right, so there's more ways for you to get seen. But Al Tucci, fewer eyeballs seeing you. And here's the wild card.
It's a niche.
Here's the other factor that you're not considering. is that there's more comics than ever before. These cucarachas are multiplying. like cucarachas.
Yeah, but
they're everywhere. Yeah. You can't swing a cat in this town without hitting a comedian.
But here, though,
you understand it's not even weird now to be a comedian? Yeah. You used to tell somebody you were a comedian, they'd say,
what?
Oh my God,
what the hell are you? What does that mean?
But now I tell somebody's a comedian, oh yeah, my brother does it. Yeah. And I got a friend that does it. I mean, it's not even weird anymore.
You know, it is so weird. The phrase, the swing a cat.
No, that's an old phrase.
I know, but where does it come from?
I feel like
I think Aristophanes.
Aristophanes.
I don't know where it
no,
comes
wait,
from.
Is he
he's
on
trying
your...
to, he's trying to Jew up the podcast.
I know.
On your show, is he a struggling lawyer trying to be a comedian?
No, I'm me.
No. Everybody is just themselves. Uh-huh. Everybody's themselves. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what Altucher does? He gets in there. We're trying to talk about him, and he switches. He switches it, and you don't even see it coming.
He's so subtle about it.
And then he fucks your girlfriend.
And then he bangs your girl. And then he bangs your girl. And this is the way he does it. This is the way he's always done it.
That's why I have two daughters.
Yeah.
I like this guy.
So you're an entrepreneur. You're a writer. What is this book? James's new book is Reinvent Yourself.
Best-selling
author of Choose Yourself.
Yes.
Reinvent Yourself. What is it?
Give us a
thumbnail, James.
Well, it's all about this idea that nothing is really safe in this world. Like, you wanted to be a lawyer, but there's no...
Well, no, I didn't want to be a lawyer.
Okay, you initially set out to be, but for all the people who actually wanted to be, there's no guarantees. There's not a surplus of jobs for lawyers anymore. In fact, that's even being automated or outsourced. Right. So people are constantly now, particularly young people, are constantly facing the fact that they have to reinvent and start to do what they love rather than what they were told to do.
Right.
They have to choose what they want instead of what their parents, teachers, bosses, everybody else chose them to do. You've got to choose the people who choose you rather than the other way around, if that makes sense.
Choose the people who choose you. Yeah, kind, yes.
Like your TV deal, why don't you just shoot it on YouTube? Raise a little money, shoot scenes on YouTube, and see what happens. See if people watch it. See if people who are interested watch it.
So, listen.
No, he's certainly not wrong.
So can we get somebody that needs to reinvent themselves and see how that might work with them, other than us, of course?
Well, all of us are constant. Like, you're in a state, for instance, where you're trying to go from married guy to married guy with kids. And that's a lot of issues. You have to readjust
especially when
every
one of your sperm doesn't want to do anything.
Right.
So you have to
You have to figure out, do you give up on that? Do you adopt? Do you
in
do
vitro,
an IVF?
Baby.
Yeah. So you have to decide all these things. And then your relationship with your wife's going to change. And then once you have a kid, your relationship with your wife's going to completely change, because suddenly there's this new, strange, non-English-speaking citizen living in your house, and you have to deal with that. So even that's reinvention. Everything is reinvention, not just
career. So is your book...
Yeah, that's right.
Is your book... I'm a little confused now. Is it a how-to book about reinvention, or just a philosophical sort of book about how we are all always reinventing ourselves?
It's about my own personal failures.
It's a memoir.
And reinventions, but also I then look at, like, 100 other people and how they succeeded in reinventing themselves or succeeded in succeeding, because I want to ultimately, you know, pursue different dreams and succeed at them. And how do you do that, particularly as your interests change, as you get older and as your life changes and as your life situation changes? So it's, and starting from a point where, you know, I had a point where I made some money, I sold a company, and then I went totally broke and bankrupt and had to figure out, how am I gonna, with two kids, how am I gonna start from zero and build up again? So I had to reinvent myself in this really awkward way where everybody hated me all of a sudden who pretended to be my friends earlier.
Wow.
So, you had sold a software business, was it?
Yeah.
And made.
Did you invest your money? Did it go? How did you lose it? Yeah, what happened to money?
I bought houses. I invested millions of dollars.
As appreciating assets. Had you bought cars? I'd understand how you lost it. How'd you lose it buying houses?
A divorce? Well, divorce twice.
That'll do it.
And I bought houses right before both.
That'll do it.
Housing crisis, like 2000 and 2007. And then I invested in a lot of bad companies.
I hedge my bets with stabilized real estate.
I should have talked to you.
Well, listen, what do I know? You're the brain here. But what,
I don't know about that.
These hedge funds, are they?
Yeah, hedge funds.
Is
so
it
you're
bullshit
now,
or
you,
not?
So then I started a hedge fund. In order to make my way back. That was one of the things
now,
I tried.
Do you? By the way, I went to college with a cat goes by the name of Greg Lipman. That name might be familiar.
I don't know.
Okay, he was involved in the Big Short. He worked at Deutsche. Whatever, doesn't matter. You don't know him, but he's a hedge fund guy now.
All right.
So you started a hedge fund, which for those of our listeners, which I would imagine is most of them, who are not directly have a direct contact with a hedge fund. Yeah. What is a hedge fund for those that might not know?
So a hedge fund is basically you take in money from rich people and you invest it however you want and you take a piece of the profits. It's a little different than a mutual fund, which can take in money from anyone. A hedge fund can only take money from, you have to have a certain net worth, and you can do whatever you want. There's no regulations at all.
No downside because you don't lose any of your own money.
Yeah, you don't have to put your own money in, but of course, I would put all my money in, and then I would go up, I would go down.
Right.
I built up another business. I sold that, went broke after that.
Right.
So I went broke several times, and then finally I had to start figuring out, like, how can I reinvent myself so that it sticks the next time?
Right.
Well, now, so the hedge fund is what you came up with.
Yes.
And how's that doing?
Well, I ran it all through the first decade of the 2000s, and it did well. But I decided to turn that into another internet business. I kind of moved it all into making a website about finance, and I sold that company. And then bought a house.
He's back.
He's better than ever. Altucher's back.
No, I was back, and then I lost all of that. I was broke about 18 months after that.
Guys, tremendous.
Second time.
You know, something doesn't add up here.
There's three skills with money.
You can't seem to hold on to the dough.
There's three skills.
He's an entrepreneur.
Making it.
Can't get enough.
Keeping it. Growing it.
Keeping it.
So making it, I could do. Keeping it and growing it, I maybe am only just learned.
Well, as far as keeping it and growing it is concerned, why not just invest in some high-quality government paper and blue-chip stocks
and leave it
at that?
You can't generate wealth that way. So I was greedy and wanted to generate quick wealth.
Yes.
He was greedy. Okay, because you can generate wealth. You know, you don't need to generate wealth.
What he's saying is at a 3% dividend, you're not going to generate a whole lot.
He could start another business and use his brain power.
So here's what I did. I decided I hated starting businesses, so I invested in other smart people who were starting businesses, and that actually worked for me. So that was more of the VC side. I became more of like a venture capitalist, and that worked.
If you're looking for a place to stash your money, there's no better investment than this sitcom I wrote.
That's the type of thing I used to invest in, I would be crying in a hotel room. Okay.
James, what do you think?
18 months later.
On a macro level, and we don't have to get, you can pull me back whenever you want, Dan. The idea that of the GDP pie in this country, the idea that financial services occupies an ever-growing portion of that seems to me like some sort of unsupportable, it's a Ponzi-ish experience I'm having in term of the conceptual understanding of the way all of this works.
Yeah, but yes and no. So, yes, there's probably too many people employed on Wall Street. Like, that's all a scam.
Why is everybody that's worth $500 million in a fucking hedge fund?
Right.
What, are they all smarter than everybody else? They're producing nothing.
Right, and that business is going to go away. That whole industry is going to go away.
Yes,
but the basic idea of Wall Street is to give Main Street money to build their businesses.
Yeah, that was the idea.
It still works. Everything cleans itself out every like decade or so.
Right.
So we had the financial crisis that cleaned it out. The dot-com bubble and bust cleaned it out. So it'll clean out again in a year or two.
It's like AIDS in the 80s.
Yeah, totally. Totally cured now.
Yes, Liz just left the table after that.
She didn't leave because of that, though. I can say that because I have family members who were involved in the AIDS operation. my father was gay. Anyway,
sperm problem.
Well, yeah, exactly. No.
But one wonders whether Dove's at least prior behavior was in some way a way to maybe prove to himself that he's not gay.
It was very subconscious. I mean, I was just sort of a virile. I was that kind of guy right from a very early age.
Now, is this true? Like, did you suspect your dad was gay?
Oh, my mother said, you know, my mother knew that he was having sex with men, but it didn't bother her. The fact that he ate too much sugar was a big problem for her. But the homosexuality thing was not it. But she was a super countercultural kind. It was a real wacky operation they ran.
Was she gay also?
My parents. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no, no.
No, but hasn't she had gay relationships?
She had one relationship with the gym teacher.
was the gym teacher very masculine?
Wasn't feminine. I believe her name was Sean. Even at the name that you're not sure.
Sean like Colvin. Sean can be a female name in rare cases. You remember Sean Colvin, Sonny Came Home?
But that's what I'm saying.
No.
You don't remember Sonny Came Home?
By the way, what's the difference?
Yeah, I don't remember.
TV show?
No, no. Sonny Came Home was
Sonny
a song
came home.
From the 90s. When back in the day when I had all these female singer-songwriters like... help me out here. Natalie Merchant and Sarah McLachlan.
We should go to Gotham after this.
What's that Gotham after this?
I got to do some show, but I'm saying we could all go over there. Jessica's going to be there. What are you doing? All right, we'll finish this. You guys should come. But all I'll talk to you after. I'll talk to you after. I got my car out front.
So you're reinventing yourself again, you say? You have other thing. You want to reinvent yourself yet again. You started off, you were in the software business.
Yeah, software.
Made some money.
Yeah, then
went broke.
Hedge fund, then internet, and then I've been a writer for 15 years. This is my 18th book.
How do you fucking do? I guess, well, you have to be able to sit down. Obviously, you have a great brain and all that, but I'm finishing a book now. I have the damnedest time sitting down.
But let me ask you a question. How do you write a joke?
Walking around.
Yeah, but you have to still think about it and write. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah,
you have to be a genius to write a joke.
No, you don't. Believe me. You should see some of the people we know that can write it.
But you specifically.
I'm pretty bright, but I'm not that smart, I don't think. But when you go downstairs, you work on it in front of people.
Right.
And then, I was thrown out of high school, by the way. But you work on it in front of people, and then you figure out what works. You sort of work through it. It's not, you're not alone in a room just pounding it out in a vacuum.
Well, I would say out of 18 books, maybe two of them sold well. So it's the same type of thing.
What's selling?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
But, like, that's the way I work it. Like, I'll write the book and then see what happens.
Right.
And, so this book and another one did well.
Well, what's your next move? What's the next reinvention of James Altucci?
I kind of...
Male stripper.
I kind of want to write a novel after this. I haven't written a novel yet.
Okay.
Really? You're going hardcore fiction.
Yeah. I kind of want to write like a thriller.
Are you in therapy?
I am in therapy. I just went to my therapist today, actually.
Good for you.
We talked all about Pamela down there.
Yes.
So,
well, anybody that...
And we talked about me writing a novel.
Well, novels, you know, I mean, are people reading novels these days?
Is that the point?
Yeah, is that the point? You do the work because you love the work.
No, I didn't say that. I'm making another point.
I know, but I like to argue.
Okay, 50 Shades of Grey sold 150 million copies.
Right. But... Yes. Okay. So
that's
so,
one novel.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's true. But people don't. I don't think read novels the way they used to.
Well, we all know that.
Okay. So what do you think I should do next?
I didn't say don't write
I'm
a novel.
Bored of writing this stuff.
I didn't say don't write a novel. I said I'm not sure anybody's going to read your novel.
As a matter of fact, the one and only misdemeanor crime that Dan has ever committed took place as he was a young man in a bookstore. He smuggled.
I don't want to talk about my wayward youth.
What are you talking about? He took a copy of Love in the Time of Cholera.
Did you think that was porn?
No, I stole a copy of Love in the
Time
of Cholera.
Was that Gabriel Garcia Marquez?
Yeah. Marquez. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, that is a good. I mean, how hilarious
that's my life,
is
that's
that?
That's my life of crime.
Were you caught?
No, I wasn't caught.
Who steals a copy? I don't know. At the time of cholera.
I don't know if the statute of limitations ran out.
You know
what
when
store
I, you know,
was it? I won't report you. Nobody on this pod, nobody listening will report you.
When I was a kid, what people would steal, they'd take a hood ornament, they'd take a gold chain, they'd take a... You were in a bookstore rummaging through Gabriel Garcia Marquez novels.
I mean, I did...
Now that's
a real
comedian.
Was football cards. I was caught stealing
football
cards.
That makes more sense.
It does make more sense.
What did you steal?
Were you like cards. Football cards. But how old were you
from
when you
the, like?
He was 32.
I think I was about 20. I mean, you have to be of a certain age to want to steal Love in the Time of Cholera. You're not going to be a five-year-old kid.
Right. It was a choice between Gravity's Rainbow and Love in the Time of Cholera.
That's correct. I don't know, was Gravity's Rainbow...
that was too big. It wouldn't fit in your pocket.
That's, of course, Pynchon. I never read that one. I
read the first two pages.
Okay. Why you didn't like it?
It's a little bit... I didn't like it. No,
I tried.
It's a little
speaking
bit,
of
wordy.
Novels, speaking of novels, now I tried to read David Copperfield, Charles Dickens. Figured I'd read it. Figured it'd be good for me. It's a classic. It's a classic, they said. You got to read it, they said.
Yeah,
it's incredible, they said. I gave it 100 pages. Gave it the old college, and I said, and after 100 pages, I thought it was a gag. I said, "Is this guy kidding me?" I threw it down my garbage chute. Threw the book away. I didn't want it in my house.
Well, you were angry. You were angry that you got sucked into the first 100 pages.
I thought it was a gag.
No,
that's it's like
you know
it was like there was no
I have a recommendation.
Discernible plot at all. It was like
That's tough.
Incredible. And this is considered, I mean, maybe it's great literature. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm just going to say it ain't for me.
But, you know, you could have gone to read the Classics Illustrated comic book.
James Joyce, you want to fucking, you want to put a bullet in your head. You get into a James Joyce.
I had to in high school. I had to read Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man.
Ooh.
Portrait of a Student that's furious. Nah, that was cornball. But anyway, that,
it was an attempt. I've seen
it.
I'm learning.
Against the wall.
Portrait of an angry high school English student. And I'm trying to improve the bit, but you get the idea.
I got it. That's
a rough one. And for but they give high school kids shit that high school kids shouldn't be
reading. Yeah, why do they give, like, the Canterbury Tales to high school kids? Like, that's unreadable.
Why don't they give
Lord of the Rings to high school
kids? The truth is, the Canterbury Tales is pretty good.
It's written in, like, the 1300s. How could it be good?
By the way, the point is you want to give them something they can access that will then turn them on as opposed to
turn them on.
Turn them
excited to write and read.
Exactly. I went to school. I grew up in a shitty part of Jersey, and I went to school with guys. Towards English Town. I grew up in a junkyard.
North Brunswick myself.
Let me just preface this by saying Dove loved nothing more than to portray himself as coming from the ghetto.
No, it's not the ghetto. It's a working class. It was a dirt lot with a junkyard.
But Dove comes from a fairly. His mother was a therapist. These are not dumb people.
My mother's
a therapist. Father's gay.
My father was an uneducated Jewish business guy from the street in the Bronx, and my mother was a hippie wasp intellectual.
But you went to Columbia, the therapist, to become
an analyst. And she was on her way to India to teach piano when she stopped off to visit her lesbian friend who owned a monkey. And that woman was renting a house for my father. That's how they met. And then she was wrapped up on a commune for the next 10 years. And then in India following a guru. But anyway, go ahead.
What the hell were we talking about? You're saying... We were talking about books.
Oh, we were talking about
books,
getting turned on as
Canterbury
a kid
Tales.
And the idea of learning and tapping into the kind of culture where you then want to go and experience... curiosity for yourself. If you're turned off to reading early on, it's very dangerous.
I think that's right.
Yeah, so
like you had David Copperfield and then Love in the Time of Cholera.
You were
screwing yourself. You're never going to read a book again.
No, David Copperfield came later in my I tried to read that a few years ago when I said, I'm going to enrich myself.
You were like, "Okay, I blew it with Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man and Love in the Time of Cholera. I'm going to read a thriller now. I'm going to read a page-turner. a 200-year-old book named David Copperfield. It wasn't the book of magic tricks. It was like the actual serial thing that Charles Dickens did in like 1820.
Yes, but everybody said it was great. And I tried to read Anna Karenina too, and I didn't get through two pages.
Why? You should have read 50 Shades of Grey. 150 million people loved it.
You know, I hired this guy, this social media guy. We could keep talking about this, but it's getting...
Dove has decided.
No. You decide. You can veto me anytime you want. I'm just saying I'm looking at Pamela because
if Pamela's laughing, I figured it has to be okay because she has no skin in this game.
Yeah, but sometimes it's different context. But I know what you mean.
But okay, you hired a social media guy. We'll move to social media.
Our culture in general. But maybe that's not the best topic either. The most entertaining thing to talk about is just to keep arguing about what to talk about.
Well, we could move.
It's very meta.
Noam likes to talk politics, obviously.
No. He's good at that. What do we know? We're not that engaged in political.
No, but we can all talk about Trump, can't we?
Of course we can.
Because that's a big deal.
Well, arguably.
I have something to say. Here's something I try to make a joke about. I try to make a joke about this notion, and it hasn't worked, but I think there's something here.
Yes, what?
Chuck Schumer and a few other people talked about the Statue of Liberty crying because they're not letting Muslims in.
Right.
Okay, so have you seen a meme with the Statue of Liberty crying?
No, I haven't.
Yes, and hugging Obama. I've seen that.
You've seen that meme. Okay, now the Statue of Liberty... was erected, or if that's the right word, it was given to us.
Don't offend Doug here.
Erected, easy. I just got a sperm test. You know what kind of shape I'm in, man.
Don't hit.
Sorry, I was very insensitive about me.
Sake.
So the Statue of Liberty came here in 1882?
Something like that.
Do you know that at that time Chinese people were not allowed to come to America? It was called the Chinese Exclusion Act.
Wow.
And the Statue of Liberty didn't shed a tear for the Chinese.
Are you telling me the Statue of Liberty
all of a sudden loves Iraqis?
Women weren't allowed to vote. The Chinese weren't allowed in.
Right. So the Statue of Liberty is like, the Statue of Liberty says we got to let everybody in. First of all, the poem says we got to let everybody in. that was written by somebody else, and they stuck it on the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty was like, get that thing off me.
You're really literate. I didn't even know there is a poem on the Statue of Liberty.
He's very literate, Dennis. Did you
know
very literate.
Did you know there was a poem on the Statue of Liberty?
I was thrown out of high school.
The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. It's a famous poem. And
holy moly.
What? No, wait, you know this poem.
Wait, is that?
You know this poem.
Okay,
it's, give me your tired, your poor,
okay,
your huddled masses.
Right, but
to
you know the name.
The wretched refuse, etc. and so on.
Yeah, did you know? Did you know Emma Lazarus?
No, nobody knows that name.
How did you know Emma Lazarus?
Look who you're dealing with. The man
he's
got problems, James.
It's another
Jew
name.
Well, you were studying computer science, and, yes, and that's quite a practical thing to do. I was studying poetry and looking at the beauty in the world while you were at the computer going,
That's right.
And hey, by the way, and you win, by the way, because you made money.
I had to use my nerd factor. I had to use it for me.
Of course.
You know, because all those computer guys that in high school, we looked at them like they had three heads, and those are the winners.
Now they run the world, of course.
And all the poets were the cool guys. I wanted to be. All the poets were like getting the girls, you know. They were
I wasn't getting the
poet
girls.
Jocks.
I actually had the worst of both worlds. No pussy and no money. but anyhow, so this notion that that it's... Another thing I wanted to attack...
I hired a corporate security firm to look up this Hasid. Go ahead.
This notion that keeping immigrants out is not who we are. Not who we are.
That's precisely
exactly
who we are.
That's who we've always been up until the 1965.
Well, even now, you think it's easy to be like a citizen? Like someone comes here, it's hard to get a green card.
Yes.
You know how many documents I've had to sign to help people get green cards? And people are like crying and begging to get these documents signed.
I've met more hot blonde pussy that can't get into this country. And I have to ask myself, who writes these laws?
Who writes them?
You know, Dove's wife is Canadian.
Yeah, and she's been dealing with a lot of...
Couldn't get into this country to save her life until Dove married her.
Okay, not only could she not get into this country, but you'd have twice as hard a time going to her country and getting a job.
Yeah,
you
could
not get
a
job in her country.
That's right, right. And that's the case for most countries leaving. Yeah, right. That's the case. Yeah, you know, it's... listen, I don't know where you want to go with this, but...
And everybody protesting this, they all want to go to Canada, right? You can't be a citizen again.
Nobody
wants to go to Mexico, right? Why don't they want to go to, like, the sunnier, nicer place that...
Well, tell us why.
I don't know. I'm saying, why do they all want to go to Canada?
Because
Canada's
a first world nation.
It's a first world nation.
Okay, but Mexico is right next to the United States also.
I know, but it's a little tough over there. It's, I mean, unless...
All right, go further.
If you're in the Coke game... What? No, you go further. Yeah, sure. Argentina.
Yeah. Argentina, Colombia, these are like starting to be up-and-coming South American countries. These are where the
I could live in Buenos Aires.
Well, you got to learn Spanish if you go to this.
Yeah, you got to learn Spanish.
Also, you got to learn to flamenco.
But in Colombia, a lot of expats go to Colombia, go to Medellin.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, have you thought about, I assume, just looking at you, that you must be a Hillary and or Bernie person.
I am a nothing person.
Yes, me too. I'm with you.
I wish they should just shut the whole internet down for 1 year and cure cancer and then get back to arguing about politics.
Capitalism has been great. It doesn't really speak to a lot of people's needs, certainly in terms of community and spiritually. There's tons of disenfranchisement, and I'm a capitalist, but clearly it's wonderful ingenuity and where we were. You know what the big problem is? And then let me just frame this. I was thinking about this in terms of the macro scenario. We are up against this idea that everybody is entitled to a two-car garage if you work hard and a white picket fence, and it's an unsustainable financial reality generated by the idea that after World War II, we were in such a unique position in the world. We created so much wealth so quickly in this country, you cannot sustain it. So, go ahead.
I agree with that. But also, who wants two cars? Like, we live in the city. Do you own a car?
No, I don't. I'm saying culture in general. I'm as a comedian, you go out on the road, you meet Americans. You're not dealing with a lot of people reading Love in the Time of Cholera out here. You know, everybody's jerking each other off politically, talking about how brilliant Americans. They're not that brilliant. I walk all over the country. There's a lot of, and this idea, and materialism is failing us tremendously.
But I think it's more, I wouldn't call it capitalism, I would call it corporatism. I think corporations have let people down.
Yes.
Because they all have outsourced to Asia, they've all automated, all the steel companies, you know, outsourced to other countries.
Ideas have trajectories. Capitalism is, you know, and at some point, the idea of working harder to make more, to have it better than my parents. There is no better than your parents. How many cars do you need?
I have a lot better than my parents. Not not financially.
No, but as a person.
But I just didn't. I grew up watching these people, and I'll be damned if I saw them have a good time once.
Once. I don't remember my father having a good time one time.
I don't remember my father ever saying, "Whoo, last night.
I shook it up on good."
Well, it was always, you go to work, you come home. On the weekend, he would like mow the lawn or paint the fence.
The weekends looked horrible, let alone work days.
The weekends were horrendous.
So what about that one time he found that extra copy of Love in the Time of Cholera on your nightstand, and two of the pages were like stuck together?
I don't know what you're going with.
We run a family-friendly podcast here.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I've definitely have beaten my parents out in terms of fun experiences. I think, you know, hanging out with...
Dan, you've had a very eventful life.
It's been eventful. There's been highs and lows.
You've been very hard on yourself. You've led a very unique life.
I just said I have had an interesting time.
What's
been highs and lows.
What's a low?
Low, say low.
So
okay.
Low.
You're a very congenial person.
Low, and it is, for example, when I have to do a gig out of town, and 3 days before the gig, I just get so depressed and anxious. Because I don't want to, you know, I had to perform tomorrow. The gig was canceled because of the snowstorm.
Which is blazing outside right now.
Well, it'll start in a few days. Keep it. You'll see.
You'll
keep flapping your gums when you're buried under 10 feet of snow. You'll see if you're laughing then. So my gig was canceled, but it was going to be a gig performing at one of these Florida communities where everybody is older. And I was so scared because I didn't know what do I talk about with somebody that's 65 and older? Texting, Facebook, these are not things that are, you know, that are part of their lives. And I can't talk about having kids because I don't, and I can't talk about the things that they're into. For some reason, they hired me, and, you know, and I was very, very nervous about it. So, now, you could say, well, who cares? Just do the...
Okay, what was the first joke
And here's
you
the
had
kicker.
What
here's
was the first
kicker.
Joke you had planned?
Well, I'm getting to that, but here's the kicker. And if you think that sounds scary, my mother's cousin was going to be in the audience.
That is the kicker.
Bernice.
Bernice is her name, a lovely woman, but...
Lovely
I like how he knows your mother's cousin's name.
But the fact
well, he
is...
told me
is
the other, it's the perfect name for an old Jew crowd.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was nervous that if I didn't do well, I'd be... The family would know, because she's there. I feel like I'm still proving myself.
So what were you going to do? Work through it here.
Well, my first... Well, I have jokes. The question is, would they respond to a joke about Facebook or about texting.
They totally would. They're all on Facebook. 1.6 billion people are on Facebook. You think this group of
6-year-olds... But there's only 14 of them over 65.
Yeah, but most of them are not over 65, and the ones that are not as active. They're not constantly hashtagging and saying, feeling blessed.
Feeling blessed,
my mother's on Facebook, but she goes on once in the bluest of moons.
So blue.
She's not posting flashback throwback Thursday shit.
Not Miss Natterman, no.
She's not arguing about Trump or anything on...
No, she's not. Maybe Bernice might be, but even her, I don't know. They're on Facebook, but their experience of Facebook is not the same as my experience of Facebook or the average Comedy Cellar audience member's experience of Facebook. And they text message, but they don't text, you know, BYB. They don't text, you know, the kind of things.
What's BYB?
Be right back. BRB.
BRB.
I'm sorry.
All right, see?
I think BYB is Brigham Young.
Don't screw up that joke.
Brigham Young.
Brigham Young, but that's BYU. You get the idea, Altucher.
Yeah, we get the idea. Everybody gets the idea.
So you had a question?
Yeah, so that was going to be your first joke. What did you decide?
No, that was not going to be my first joke. My first joke was going to be my joke about marriage. And how hard it is.
It was anxiety over whether or not things, you know, translate. I did a show in Amsterdam. I had there was a piece of a joke that I referenced a swimming pool, and nobody got it. Because nobody has, for the most part, personal swimming pools in a place where it rains all year, you know?
But they know what a swimming pool is. They do,
but the context of the joke involved it being in somebody's backyard. You understand? Mm-hmm. They don't have them in the backyard for the most part.
Oh, okay.
So what joke did you decide to do first?
Well, a joke I typically do first is I do a joke about marriage being difficult. I'm not going to say it because,
No, say it. It's quick. It's the kind of thing you can say and it's still funny. It's not like a big
story. I've been doing for many, many years about how people that are married are not selling the institution of marriage. You know, you wouldn't buy a car if somebody said, this car, well, it takes a lot of work. So that's why I'm not married, because nobody's selling it. Pamela's been sitting here patiently. I don't know if she wants to. I got a phone call. That's an 800 number. I don't know.
You got a phone call from
it's probably JetBlue.
Your sex hotline.
Yeah, hello, is this JetBlue?
James, I've got. I've been.
All right, so I'm going to tell you something real quickly.
Yeah.
You're hiring a private investigator.
It is JetBlue, but it's automatic.
I already hired him. What's
okay.
That?
I'm going to tell you.
I already got the report.
The result's not going to be good.
You're right.
I know this for sure.
Because but I don't mind not good. It's not good to what degree and why? And why not? It's what kind of not good.
So tell me why it wasn't good. I've hired thousands of private investigators in my time. Tell me why it was not good, and I'll tell you if that's bad. If there's worse.
For me, it brought up some questions. What it did was I had some reservations as it relates to our communication, and I did.
What were the reservations related to your communication?
Well, there were these two guys. So one of them was this Hasidic guy who sort of gives you a look. There's this immediate suspicion when I walk in the room, and that's okay. I don't mind that, and I don't mind whatever prickly operation you run as long as you're good at what you do. But it just started to feel, and then there was some emailing, and then there were these pauses, and you call me back, but then you don't call me back, and then there were some other issues that we tried to communicate around. And the one thing that we need in a development project, or in any project where communication is a primary, tool.
You want to come on?
It wasn't good.
You can't do this deal.
Oh,
I'll tell you why.
Jay, wait, really quickly. Marina Franklin.
You're right.
Is a big fan of yours and wanted to.
I'm a fan.
Big
of
fan. Big fan. Everybody says hi. You can't see this on air. But James Altucher just hugged Marina Franklin.
I'm a huge fan of Marina Franklin.
And it may have been a beat too long, to be perfectly honest with you. It may have been one beat too long.
I stayed under the 5-second rule.
I only can stay for a second, but I just wanted to say I'm so glad you're here.
A lot of people are annoyed at Marina's positive energy already at the table. A lot of people it's
Marina,
getting to.
Marina, I believe, is the one who told Steven to have me on.
We all love Marina.
Well, the reason he's here
is because of Marina Franklin.
There you go.
All right. Was he on your podcast, Friends Like Us?
Not yet, but he will be. But I've been on his podcasts.
She's been on two of my podcasts.
Stephen Dubner.
It's amazing anybody has time to go to work anymore, because there's a lot.
We're doing podcasts.
Very busy casting.
24/7.
There's a lot of podcasting going on.
I wanted to tell you that I met a guy because of your show.
You met a guy because of my show? What happened? Tell me the story.
It was a horror show.
It's actually a horror story.
Yeah, that's right, Al Tucher. You ruined Marina's life.
You're not with this guy still?
I've never.
A listener of mine is.
You'll never bang him again.
Okay, what happened? Tell me.
A listener of yours contacted me on Facebook. I told Dove this story.
What was his name?
No.
I know all my listeners.
I've told
five of them.
The guy is.
Well, you can't let.
You do know
the
this
name.
Guy.
I didn't hear.
But he's. Let's just say it starts with a B, like a Brian. And he contacted.
Oh yeah, that's a bad guy.
Yes, he is.
All
and
right.
He contacted me.
I shouldn't have said that out loud, but you didn't say his name.
I didn't
name.
Say his last name.
He didn't
name.
Say his name.
Yeah, all right.
But he contacted me, and I thought it was a date, and he's hot. So I went on the date, and then the next day, he posted it on his Facebook wall, like a social media status, like, this
bit
is what I do to
tune.
Make my day go better. I do the following things. And then he said he listed that he met with Marina Franklin.
That's a little, but did he say, now, were you just, that your name was mentioned, you were said, or did he say he met you, like, romantically,
he
like, on a date?
He tagged me. He tagged my name.
Oh, he tagged you. That's
a euphemism for.
But this
when
is,
Marina says tag, she means it.
Trust me, I wish that had happened.
All right,
he tagged me. No condom.
He's
tagged. I got tagged.
That was unwanted tag. I got. Yeah.
That didn't work out. You'll have to come on my podcast again. We'll make the next version right.
Yes, because I've been wanting to talk to you about this for a while. So
right.
Anyway, have a good
it's
time. I love you.
All right, see you soon.
You could
we love you as well, Marina.
Go out with me. I know you're currently involved.
She loves me, but she loves me it's right
does
here.
Pamela's a wonderful
does
woman.
Does Pamela want to say anything? She's been sitting there. I don't know if you want to say a few words. Or have a seat, Pamela. Just if you don't mind.
How late are we running till,
well,
by the way?
Well, just a few more minutes and we'll be done. I don't know. Some people have mic fright, but if you're good on the mic.
By the
I'm
way,
good.
She did the cover of this book. She's
a
designer.
Oh, cool.
Number one best-selling book on Amazon.
I was listening to that Diane Millman interview with Ferris.
Oh, I just interviewed Debbie Millman
as well. Debbie Millman, not Diane.
You're saying that's the number one book right now on Amazon?
It was last week.
Reinvent Yourself.
Number one was higher than 50 Shades of Grey.
Wow. Well, congratulations. So as I said, Al Tucher is back.
He's better than ever, baby.
He invested in a few bad projects, but he is back.
He is back, and he is better than
and,
ever.
And Pamela, you're from the design world.
I am.
And so how did you run into this character?
How did I run into
Yeah, how
this
did
character?
You run into me? What happened?
Were you a fan? Then you.
I was. Yeah, I am a fan. I was a fan, and we met kind of through social media. So.
Yeah, she well, became a fan. She was always criticizing me at
but
first.
But you knew who he was before you started dating.
Yes, and then I started giving him shit.
Altoot is just like us, Dove.
Of course. What do you think? We're walking into a bar. He's walking into a bar, you know.
You can't meet someone in a bar. You have to write a book or do stand-up or design stuff, make some sculptures.
Now, Brian can meet people in bars. He's sort of classically...
This is his friend, Brian Callen, we're talking about.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, but there are some people who are very good at it, but yeah.
So you're going through Facebook and looking for perhaps on your...
All right, here was my strategy.
Yeah.
If I posted an article and a pretty woman liked it, then I would just inundate. Like, I would Facebook friend, Twitter follow, Instagram follow, LinkedIn connect. I would do everything and then just shoot and get overwhelmed.
Absolutely.
And then she'd have to, like,
wonder
what's up.
So, well, and you're very charming.
There's no...
you're very charming.
There's nothing new under the sun. You're
nothing
doing what everybody... We're all doing this
right.
shit.
Yes.
You know, if I get, like, an Instagram... If, like, I get followed on Instagram...
But James will actually show up at a house with a knife, so we're not all doing everything.
He goes that one step further.
One step further. and that's the thing about Al Tucci. That's why he does it. One step further.
That's why he's been calling me a snake all night.
No. In the best sense. And only in the most high context.
But anyway, so how long you guys been?
Like 10 months almost.
Oh, that's yeah.
like almost a year.
You made it sound so seedy for
like
Christ's sake.
Like Valentine's Day is coming
Christ
up.
Christ, so how long have you guys been so seedy?
What should I do for Valentine's Day? I haven't really experienced this in a long time.
Oh, that is an interesting.
I haven't.
Well,
been
I don't know what your budget
time.
Is. Why don't you? I mean, but you're a guy. You don't have like a
200 million. What are we talking about?
By the way, your assumption that you need a budget is a fallacy.
Yeah,
there are lots of things that you can do.
No, I know, but I'm just trying to get... Yes, I know that, Doug.
A poem.
Be creative.
But, okay, I have an idea.
But you could
you're
also
dealing with a creative woman.
If it were me and Pamela were my girl, first of all, I wouldn't be here right now.
What would
you
do?
I'd be off in a Caribbean island somewhere as we speak.
That's what she keeps telling me.
I'd be, you know what I'd...
That's
you know
what she keeps telling me, but I love
I'm
New York.
Bored out of my mind in the islands. I can't wait to get home.
You know what I want
to...
You know where I want to go one day? You know, like you go to Tahiti and they have those, I don't know what they call them, but they're on like stilts in the middle of the lagoon.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean, it's far... But that's what I would want to go.
Are you American? Like, what's up with that?
What do you mean, what's up with that? It's beautiful. It's like the most beautiful place on
not
earth.
Not a real person. Where are you talking about?
Tahiti or Bora Bora, one of those
places. Who gives a fuck about
it? I have an idea. Tell me if this is a good idea, okay? Don't tell Pamela.
I won't say
I
a word.
Listen.
I would never say it.
In Washington, D.C., there's this exhibition that just started. It's like a million ping pong balls fill up, or sponge balls or whatever, fill up this huge, gigantic pool, and you could bathe in it.
That's interesting.
Kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
What if I just surprised her with like take the SL Express down to D.C.? Total surprise. She wouldn't know.
There's nothing more romantic than waiting online with 57 12-year-olds. But no, that could be fun.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, that's
not
good.
Creative.
I'm not.
Let's go and tell her.
I won't
no,
say
we won't
word.
Tell her.
Well,
no,
I'm not poo-pooing it. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's creative. It's interesting.
Yeah, or a bed and breakfast in Vermont if you want to.
It's too cold.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't have to go all the way to Vermont, by the way. But yeah. You go right to, the Berkshires.
The Shires?
The Shire, baby. The Shire.
Well, Duff, what are you doing for Valentine's Day?
I haven't thought about it because I've been dealing with a real episode with my wife, but we're back. We're okay now. She's actually going to come meet me I have a quick gig to do, you guys should come. But the, what?
The Valentine's
What are you hassling me for? Valentine's. Yes. No, of course. We're going to go to Washington, D.C. do the ball thing. I'm just going to take Tucher's idea.
Okay, here's another one.
You'd be so infuriated if you went to D.C. and Davidoff were there at the ball pool.
That's right.
Yeah, you had like messed it
all up. Out there poo-pooing the idea.
That's right. That's right. I'm yelling at the kids, yeah.
Okay, here's the other one. In Chinatown, there's the Chinatown Fun Fair. Mm. Air hockey, ski ball. Arcade games?
No.
What do
nothing
you think?
Romantic about it. And Chinatown in general isn't romantic. All there's right. a lot of fish everywhere. You know, that's not the
all
thing
right,
to
no,
do.
Too
not
fishy.
Very romantic.
Stay out
too
of Chinatown fishy. On Valentine's Day. You know what's good? I'm trying to think. What was a romantic? You know, I What did I do?
What about going to the Comedy Cellar? Do you guys do romantic stuff?
There'll be a show here.
Will we swoon?
Yeah, but it's not romantic.
It's not romantic necessarily, but they'll be talking about. I'm sure
a lot
somebody
of people
will
come
mention
on dates, but it's. It never seemed like a super romantic.
It's not
it
romantic,
seems like a fun thing to do on a date, but not for necessarily if you're going for romance.
Well, you do the Comedy Cellar and have some laughs, and then do something romantic afterward, perhaps.
Maybe like a short stay at a hotel?
Yeah, something of that nature.
That nature. Well, it's a good nature. You know, that's
all
a
right,
good Valentine's Day nature.
I see how you guys work through jokes. You're kind of figuring out your Valentine's Day schedule.
You know, I don't make a lot of eye contact, so maybe I'll do it missionary for the first time in 6 months. yeah.
Wait, there's other ways?
Exactly.
Yeah, Dove has an issue with that.
No, I don't have an issue. No, I do. I don't like a lot of eye contact, but I don't know that it's an issue. But then again, an issue is a matter of degrees. And so what becomes an issue and what doesn't is almost a philosophical matter, or one for a psychologist.
That sounds like the child of a therapist would say it that way.
Well, you know, my mother wasn't a therapist when I was a kid. She is now, but it was a very strange operation. But yeah, no. But I've been in therapy, and certainly there's a lot of analytic kind of dialogue around. So I guess I can't
help
but pick it up.
Would you say with your wife that what you thought was a small issue when you first started going out.
I have a big piece, James.
What you thought... Okay. Good one.
Heterosexual, James. I make love to my wife.
It took me 2 seconds. But would you say whatever was a small issue when you first started dating became larger and larger, never got fixed?
No. Oh, it became larger and larger. No. No. Who was it that said...
Like her passive aggression, for instance. Did that start off... Like you noticed a tiny bit... in the beginning, and it just became bigger and bigger?
Kind of, certainly. There were pieces. Mental stuff doesn't get better on its own. It's an anti-fragile thing. You got to work at it, right?
Anti-fragile, good hedge fund phrase.
Yeah, Nassim Taleb. and the other book, too, that he wrote was actually...
Black Swan, Fooled by Randomness.
The Swan was tremendous. Yeah. And, you know, well, I'm reading now the Undoing Project by Michael Lewis.
Great book.
Great, man. Really interesting. And buy my book out later this year. It's a memoir. I think it's going to be called Road Dog.
Road Dog and
Reinvent Yourself, James.
We do have to go, but we'll
you do that.
Okay,
that's
let me
for
do
you.
That. Okay, so Reinvent Yourself by best-selling author of Choose Yourself.
Very original on my titles. I always have to have yourself.
James Altucher. Brian Koppelman, co-creator of Billions, has this to say. James is on a very personal journey. He's telling you the story on Saturday. On Sunday, he's talking about how it failed. And on Monday, he's talking about doing it a different way. Is that even a compliment?
I'm not sure.
It sounds like a summary.
That's why I put it on the front.
That's great.
I let the reader decide if it's a compliment
or
an
insult.
No, Koppelman couldn't come up with something like, at least, like this is a great book.
Very good.
He had to just fucking say, oh, it's a story, and you'll read it, and it has about a few hundred pages. No, that's Koppelman.
Getting
a compliment out of that guy.
That Koppelman. We don't know who he is.
No, Koppelman, we know. He's been here.
Oh,
he's the creator of Billions. He was on our podcast a couple of times.
Oh, I thought you were playing around.
Rounders.
He's also co-wrote the movie Rounders, which I enjoy.
Ocean's 13.
Ocean's 13 and so on. But don't ask him for a blurb if you write a book. Because he'll give you a crap. What kind of blurb is that?
I got to get a
James
blurb.
James is on a personal journey. Yeah. Did you like the book? All right. Anyway, it's got to be good because the Amazon reviews are through the roof. Five stars, whatever. Right?
I saw one that was 18 stars.
They changed the rules.
They changed the rules just for Altucher's book.
There are galaxies with fewer stars than that book.
They changed the rules to allow for 20
Tremendous.
Stars.
Even Koppelman really enjoyed it. You'd never know it from the blur, but he really enjoyed it.
Reinvent Yourself by best-selling author and our guest, James Altuchus.
Well, thank you, guys.
I don't know how you pronounce this name.
You just got it right.
Altucher.
Altucher.
There you go, Altucher.
And we also thank Pamela.
Thank you.
But Pamela stopped by. And who else was on the show today?
Marina Franklin.
Marina stopped by. Dub Davidoff.
I stopped by.
Acting, I guess, as co-host, although that wasn't necessarily the plan.
Well, if Noam would show up. No. Noam he couldn't make it.
He couldn't make it. He's
the
in
weather.
Vegas. I don't know what he's doing. And,
I know what he's doing.
Anyhow, thank you,
no
and we'll see you next time on the Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM.
God bless everybody.